Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners and viewers. Welcome back to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We're going to kick off this episode like we do every week, and that is sharing one of you who is using our hashtag on Instagram. It's hashtag #STRShareSunday. So we're going to share your short-term rental, not only here on the podcast, but on our Instagram on Sundays, on YouTube, our email blast. It is free marketing. So use that hashtag. We are looking for a new listeners to share. But Annette, who are we sharing this week?
Today, we are sharing Stay with Sabrell. And I hope that I pronounced that correct. Again, it's Stay with Sabrell. I'll spell it for you. S-E-B-R-E-L-L. And I want to go over a couple things. This house is just like this adorable little cottage. There's amazing color throughout. But listeners, let's talk about a few things. She's got some cool wall hangings inside of her property that I love because she's recommending places to go to brunch, go to lunch, dinner and drinks, and she has it right there. So it's like built into the decor in her home. Oh. They're these round, like beaded chalkboards, and it's such a great way to incorporate artwork and not having the guests have to like go on their phone and look. And it's just kind of like entwined in the decor. And I really, really love that. But something else I want to say that I love that Sabrell is doing. Sabrell is also a realtor in the area, and she has it right there in her bio that it is her real estate team also. And so I just think we're starting to see this more and more, and I absolutely love it. If you have your full-time job, whatever that may be, and you're also a host, there are so many ways to incorporate that into your listing. That's if you're a photographer, if you're a stager, if you're an interior designer, a realtor.
Massage therapist.
Yes. Your guests, they're going to want to know, you know, let them know what else you do. You could have people staying that want to relocate to that area. So I just really love that Sabrell has that addition in there. And that I'm pretty sure it's her and Sue is the team. And I just love that they're co-agents and they're sharing that together. So what a great way to position yourself. So check out Stay with Sabrell, those two things. And then Sarah, let's get on to this episode.
Okay, we are going to talk about pets in today's episode. And it is a hot, hot topic. And actually, so today's guest, Heather Kazmark, how we heard about her and actually her mother's business is some, I forget where it was. I think it's inside of Hosting Business Mastery Facebook group. And we were talking about pets and someone was like, oh my gosh, I'm in this other Facebook group. And we hear this, these are the people who know what they're doing when it comes to pets. And so I was like, we got to get them on the podcast.
Right. Yes.
So Heather is a co-host and works alongside her family at Cradles Cabins. They have three cabins nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. And they are experts when it comes to incorporating pets into the rental. So we're going to talk about all the things. I'm sure Heather is going to be super transparent and she's got this list of things that we can chat about. And I know it's all going to be stuff that you're going to be excited to hear.
Let's tell the listeners too, because we said Cradles Cabins. We're going to tell you right now, those are both with K's. Because if you're sitting at home and you're trying to go to their Instagram or look them up, it's Cradle, K-R-A-D-E-L, and Cabins, K-A-B-I-N-S. It's kind of play off of their last name.
And we'll make sure it gets into the show notes for you. But Heather, welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm excited. I know my last name messed up. I got married and I messed up the Cradles Cabins thing, but at least it's still a K, so.
Yeah, I see. I thought it, because, oh, Cradle's probably their last. See, I didn't even know it. I just thought it was a K. It was a K. All right, Heather, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and your family and how you got into the short-term rentals.
Okay. Well, I work with my mom and my brother. I mostly do like the marketing, social media aspect. It began actually about 10 years ago. My mom was getting into real estate. And a big part of that was that my older brother, Will, has some health problems. He has epilepsy and she really was looking for something where they could work together. You know, and he would be in an environment that's more conducive to being able to work safely. And then that just kind of led, I know realty is kind of an easy segue into, not easy, but common segue into short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. And my mom has always loved the Blue Ridge Mountains. We don't live there. We live about an hour and a half away, but we love visiting them. And so in 2016, she started looking for the first cabin. Also in that year, I became disabled. I use a wheelchair. And so she was thinking, well, we have this great opportunity to turn this from kind of a part-time business on the side to this could be something that we can manage, you know, where me and my brother, despite having health problems, are able to work part-time and my mom works at it full-time, that it's really evolved into a business that, you know, all three of us can work at and work with each other.
How is that going, working with your family?
I love it, actually. My mom and I have a great relationship. We actually, my husband and I renovated her basement to be wheelchair accessible. So like we live together, we work with each other, but she's so busy, you know, I never get tired of her when she's around. She was like, oh, you're probably tired of seeing me. I'm like, no, whenever I see you, it's a nice surprise. Cause normally she's off, you know, in Boone working on something or other. Cause she's very hands-on with the cabin. So
that's, I love that. That dynamic's awesome. I work with my husband and it's, you find your sweet spot. So if anyone out there is interested in working with their family, like you can find where your puzzle pieces fit to like put you in the seat that you should sit in so that you can all make the business,
make it work for sure. So you started, your mom started with one and then can you take us through the progression of where you are today?
Yes. And I might get some of these years wrong, but
no worries. We're not going to hold you to it.
2016 was when the first cabin, Laurelwood is what we call it, was bought and turned into a short-term rental. And then 2017, she was already looking at getting two other cabins, which are now listed. I think they were listed in 2017. One of them, I think, was ready in 2018. Some, you know, redecorating and things to go on. But it's great. They're all kind of in the same area. They are a little bit different from each other, especially the one is much smaller. It's really like a two-person cabin. And of those three, only one of them is pet-friendly. So we have been able to kind of see the differences between ones that are listed as pet friendly and ones that aren't.
Okay. And what are the reasons for those that are pet friendly and the ones that are not? How did you guys come to that conclusion?
Totally safety. The two-person cabin, it has a spiral staircase in it. And I know from my own experience, because my dog has been there, spiral staircases are very difficult if you have four legs.
Yeah.
Okay. And especially because it's like an open one, there's no backs to the steps. Mm. So it would be just very easy for a dog to slip down it or something. So there's no fenced in yard, which is the thing with the other cabin. There's no fenced in yard. And for us, especially, there's bears around. There's a lot of nature around. And while we do mention, in the pet agreement to have your dog on a leash, if it's not in, the fenced in yard, you never know. Mm-hmm. And we would hate for someone to have their dog and they're used to them being off the leash and the dog's off the leash and, there's a bear or there's deer and the dog just goes right off because it's exciting seeing deer, but yeah, we don't want that to happen, of course.
I'm obsessed with your point of view of looking at the dog safety. I don't think I've ever heard about, like the safety of humans. And I'm a dog mom. Like, I love dogs more than so many
Sarah
things in life.
Sarah might have a dog mom sticker on her car.
I definitely
everybody.
Do.
She
okay.
does. Yes.
I feel very strongly about my fur babies. And I have just never, Like, I feel like a bad dog mom. So Heather, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay.
So it helps. I think that my dog personally can be very, like, he's a big dog. He's 100 pounds, but he can be very clumsy. So like, seeing him, at the cabins, we're like, yeah, that's not going to work for other dogs.
Well, and like you said, you have an agreement for the humans not to do X, Y, and Z with the pets in the space. But like you said, we can't necessarily control. We can ask them to agree to it, but what they actually do. And so it's also protecting, yes, the four-legged friends, but also you as business operators. Like, you don't want to have on your hands where someone's trying to come after you because Fido fell down the stairs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the only issue that we've had with regards to pets is someone that brought their two dogs to the not pet friendly cabin and didn't disclose that and then had their dogs running around loose. And, our neighbor, of course, wasn't too happy about that, understandably, because he has a dog. And so that was the only issue that we've had with pets. And that really reinforced with us. We're like, yeah, we just don't want to risk, people having their dogs off leash and then getting into things.
Right. And like you just said, that becomes a safety issue for neighbors if they have dogs, depending yeah. if there aren't fences.
What did you do in that case? Did you connect with the guests and did you ask them to leave? Did you let them stay out their reservation or do you remember how you handled that?
In that case, it was actually a little unfortunate, although we appreciate that we have neighbors that have such a good relationship that we have a good relationship with, but the neighbor actually didn't tell us about it until a couple months later when he was like, oh yeah, by the way, this lady, she had come up to the neighbor and she told him, she was like, by the way, I have my two dogs running around loose. They're not friendly. So you might want to keep your dog up. Right.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
That's
the neighbor,
real cute.
Yeah. And the neighbor was like, well, if your dogs are on my property, then that's just not going to end well. So he didn't tell us about it until later on because he wasn't upset with us
because
we have previous good relationships with them. But so that was the one unfortunate thing is we can't pinpoint who it was.
Right.
So we couldn't, say anything, but we thanked the neighbor for his patience with people, and to let us know if it happens again so we can talk to the people and remind them that it's not pet friendly.
Right. Well, talk to us then. So you have two that are not pet friendly and one that is. So tell us about how does that affect your bookings with the ones that aren't pet friendly versus the one that is? Do you see a direct correlation between allowing pets and not?
Yeah. I would say it totally depends on your target audience. Like the one cabin it's smaller, it's really more of an intimate setting. So we get a lot of honeymooners, a lot of people on their anniversary, and most of those people, they're not bringing their dogs with them. So we've only had a few people mention it to us with that one. But then between the two that are both similar sizes, we definitely see the one that is pet friendly has a lot longer stays.
Mm, okay.
Whereas the one that's not pet friendly, that one, I would say, you know, we sometimes get 7-night bookings, but they're not, that's like the max. Whereas the other one it's common to have 7 nights, you know, or 2 weeks even. So that's a big difference we've noted. We are fortunate in that we have a pet friendly option. So when people say, oh, I'd love to stay here, but it's not pet friendly, we can say, oh, well, we have the similar cabin, you know, holds similar amount of people and it is pet friendly. So that's happened several times. So we're not necessarily losing those bookings. That being said, none of our cabins have issues with staying booked. I think it's helpful, the area that they're in Boone, there's a lot of different things to do. So there's people coming up for hikes. There's people coming up for events at the college. You know, there's people coming up because they're moving their kids into the college. So there's a lot of different audiences that are coming, and not all of them are bringing a dog necessarily.
Right. And actually, that's just a segue a little bit. So we keep saying, you know, pets and dog interchangeably, but do you allow cats, parrots, potbelly pigs?
Yeah.
Like, do you draw the line at just pups?
You know what? We have not. We've had a couple people, I think, bring their cats, which is fine with us. But I would say that I think that we've never had any potbelly pig requests. I don't think we've had any birds. It's mostly dogs. And then we have had a few cats, which we're fine with. You know, it changes the pet agreement a little bit. There's not as many rules because normally cats aren't, you know, being walked outside or,
right,
you know, they're in the house. They have their litter box. So,
right.
Interesting.
With the two properties, like the one that is pet friendly and the one that's not pet friendly, but they're similar. The one that's not pet friendly. Do you ever bend the rules? If your pet friendly one's booked and you've got a really juicy booking, but they've got to bring Fido, do you ever bend the rules that you've put in place?
If it's someone that's booked with us before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like we have, you know, one couple that come so far, you know, they've come like 4 years in a row and they have their two dogs with them. And, you know, they understand the area has bears. Dogs need to be on a leash outside. And we've not had any problems with that. It's not, like I said, because I have my dog, you know, none of the properties I would say are completely like pet free, like that has never had a dog cross the threshold. You know, we've never had, even actually in the pet friendly one, we've never had anyone say, oh, it seems like a dog was here. You know, I mean, we're very thorough about all of the fur, which helps that we're used to the fur because like my dog is a shedding machine. So we know all of the tips and tricks to make sure there's no fur.
We might have to gather some of that.
I hope you're buckle up, mama, because we're going to ask you some fur questions.
Yeah, a little bit. Let's just do it. What? Give us your top three tips right now for the hair removal.
Yes.
Fur removal.
I would say if it's your personal dog, brushing outside helps, right, to get most of the loose fur. But if it's someone else's dog that's been inside, I think knowing where the fur hides is helpful because the fur isn't just where you see it. It kind of, you know, it goes under the couch. It goes in the corners. Mm-hmm. And so when you know those are the major spots that you may not necessarily see at first and you get those, then you're making sure that you're getting all of the fur up. We keep like lint rollers, you know, for the couches and stuff. And we actually, which we've been saying we should have done before, but we got a little automatic robot for cleaning because my mom does all the cleaning herself. Like I said, she's very busy. So she'll run the little vacuum while she does everything else, which kind of gets a lot of the major stuff. And then she goes in at the end and sweeps, you know, and uses a Swiffer to get all of the corners. It does help, I think, a ton that we don't have carpet in the cabins because carpet just really holds on to dog fur. Like, I don't know what to tell you about if you have carpet.
You're right.
We've avoided carpet for that very reason.
Okay. Do you have throw rugs? Like, are there any rugs that you have just you can kind of take outside? And
yeah, they're, we mostly have smaller like entryway rugs and and those. And then I think we do have some rugs in the living room. But they're the kind that we try not to go too pricey on the rugs.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can switch them out.
Yep, exactly.
Regularly. And it's, you know, not such a dent in the wallet, but, you know, always get vacuumed and, you know, scrubbed if there's things, but especially the smaller ones, you know, we can take outside and, you know, beat them or, you know, do whatever needs to be done, or we'll have spares so we can switch them out and, you know, take them home and give them a more thorough cleaning if they need to be cleaned.
Gotcha. Now, and we can talk about this and on both sides, but the pets and how they relate to the sofas and the bedding. I'm sure we all ask our guests like, yeah, sure, bring Fido, but please make sure they don't, but they do it anyway. So
yeah.
What are your thoughts there and how do you handle that in your business?
It is on our pet agreement that they won't be like on the furniture, but I understand from a personal point of view too, which, cause my dog, you know, he's on the couch at home, he's
right
on the bed at home, and dogs don't understand generalization. They don't understand, well, in this house, you can't be on the furniture, but at this house you can. So, you know, I understand that basically if the dog is on the furniture at home, they're going to be on the furniture. So we just try to pick furniture that is going to hold up well to that. That is going to be easy to clean, and bedding. We really love how duvets have worked out for us. They're much easier to be able to strip and clean every time. And my mom has this method, which she calls the burrito method of
yes
putting duvets on.
Yeah.
And she's got it down to a science. It's very quick. So that's worked out great. Yeah.
The burrito method. I saw that. Listeners, if you don't know what that is, just go on YouTube.
I can't do it.
You can't?
No, I can't burrito, right?
I've got to teach Annette how to burrito, Heather.
Yeah, we can try.
I can even burrito.
You can? Okay, we're going to make some content about the burrito because I cannot. I cannot burrito.
Oh, Heather, we could do a reel. Like, how do you do those reels that like are right next to each other? What are those things called?
Side by side.
Oh, the collaboration.
Yeah.
Collaboration. I actually did make a video a while ago of, it wasn't a reel because it was too long, but of the burrito method. But it's probably time to make a new one.
There we go.
Okay, Heather, we'll have to collab
on
that.
We'll tag you.
Okay, so you just get pet-friendly furniture with the right fabrics and you like duvets because they're easier to like take off, spot treat, replace if needed. It's not like a whole blanket situation if a pet affects that. Anything else as it relates to furniture and just the overall upkeep?
This kind of goes into a little bit more of like if you are a pet-friendly cabin, but I think it's a great idea to have designated dog towels, you should make it obvious, like get ones with paw prints on them or something. Because we found that some people were very kind, which we appreciate, and they were wiping the dog's feet every time they came inside, but they were using shower towels.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm sure they don't want to shower with a dog towel, you know, and that can be harder to clean. So we've started adding dog towels that are designated. It's obvious these are for animals, so that if people, you know, have messes to clean up or they want to wipe their paws, they have their towels for that.
What are some of those? I know a little bit, we were talking before the show. Talk to us about some of the things that you do supply because your home is pet friendly. What are some of the things that you make sure are ready for the guest?
The dog towels are a big thing. And then also dog bowls, like ceramic dog bowls, because, you know, we didn't think of it at first, but of course it's easy to forget, like when you're traveling, you forget the dog bowls. Mm-hmm. And then they use the cereal bowls, which is like, it's a little gross. I mean, they get washed, but it's still like a little, it's like, I don't know.
It's kind of like the dog towel situation. You're like, yeah, I don't really want them drinking water out of the cereal bowl I'm going to use. Yeah.
Right. So having bowls, of course, I know dog owners have different preferences, but I like ceramic just because it's easier to clean and it doesn't get like the bacteria like plastic ones can from, you know, scratches and things in it. And like I said, our pet friendly cabin is the one that has the fenced in yard. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that the fence is secure. There is a gate like on the deck. So if they're like on the deck, they can have the dogs in the yard and they're on the deck, or, you know, if they have the dog with them on the deck, then there's a gate. But that way it's, you know, there's a couple options for them mm-hmm. to contain the dog wherever, or if the dog wants to run around. We don't have, because it's the mountains and there's a lot of shade, we don't really have grass in the yard. It's kind of undergrowth, but the grass is just not going to grow there because grass needs a lot more sun than in the middle of the woods. So we do, every, I would say twice a year, we really go through and make sure there's no like, you know, noxious plants or like briars or anything in the yard. It's never going to be, you know, a beautifully manicured turf grass lawn, which if my husband was here, he hates turf grass lawns, so he would go on a rant, but that's not what we're talking about today.
So do you offer a kennel in the property? Because I know a lot of people that's, you know, they're like, hey, absolutely pet friendly, but you need to kennel your dog when you're not home with them. Do you offer that, or what do you suggest on that?
We don't at this point, but I have been thinking about it because I was just reading the other day that someone at their rental, they provide kennels. The only thing is, to me, I feel like I haven't quite figured out how you would get one that's a good size.
Like universal, right?
Like universal, right? But I think it's something that can't hurt to leave at the cabins, because I know like with us, you know, it's hard to travel with the kennel. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, us traveling on vacation, if we bring the dog, we really need two cars because we have my wheelchair in the trunk. We have the dog in the back seat and he takes up the whole back seat. And then if we have his kennel, it's a huge kennel. So there's no room for any luggage. So I definitely think that would be a good thing to have at the rentals. I'm still looking into, there are some like metal ones where they have a divider so you can make it smaller or bigger. But that is something that I'm interested in adding, because I've seen some other rentals do that. And I think that's great because they can be a pain to move.
And I like the idea too of, because I don't know how many times we get people, and I get it, oh, my dog's the best. Like, they don't dig, they don't scratch, they don't bark. But you put that dog in an atmosphere that
a new environment.
Yeah. And the biggest thing that gets sacrificed whenever, once in a while, we have in our dog friendly places is the front door or the casing around the front door, because they're pawing for their owner. They're stressed out. And I think it would be a better experience for the pups if they were kenneled. But I get it. If you're flying into town or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, there's only so much you can do. So I wonder how that would play out if you could offer. And I wonder if there's liability there.
Like, I don't know too. Of like,
That's one of the things I have to, because I think then you would have to sanitize really the kennel every time that a dog came in, because you don't want anything spreading from to dog. But I agree. I know, which it depends too on if the dog is crate trained. I mean, ours, that's like his favorite place to sleep is his kennel. So if it's not there, he's kind of like, where's my
home?
Where's my spot? Where's my den? You know, cause he's got blankets inside. He's got a blanket over it. It's like, it's a real cushy, den area. So, but then there's some dogs that have never been in a crate, and you can't just toss them in a crate and they're fine with it.
That's true too.
Freak them out. Right. Yeah. For sure.
You have some really great, topics here that I would love to chat with you. Non-pet friendly rentals. So let's say there is a family that wants to stay in the spiral staircase or what have you, and they have service dogs or emotional support animals. We've discussed in the show a few times that, you know, if a guest books via an OTA, so Airbnb or Vrbo or something like that, like their rules apply. But how do you guys handle it if it's a direct booking and it's emotional support or a service animal and they want to stay in your non-pet friendly places?
So this is a big topic. So I'll kind of start with some background a little bit. FHA is what kind of concerns this whole thing. ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, that is for public spaces. So libraries, stores, hotels are considered public spaces. Those all fall under ADA. That allows service animals and, you know, wide enough doorways, a ramp, accessible bathrooms, all of that stuff. And that's for public areas. The FHA, the Fair Housing Act, is for housing. And that protects service animals as well as emotional support animals. It differs state by state, and it can get very confusing. I think really the regulations have not caught up to short-term rentals. as it will in the future. It differs from state to state. And then if you, depending on how many rentals you own, depending on if you are a real estate agent, there's different laws of, you know, if you fall under FHA. So we definitely fall under FHA, even for direct bookings, because my mom is a real estate, she's a licensed real estate agent, as well as we actually contacted the North Carolina Real Estate Commission recently because we wanted clarification, because we were trying to find, you know, because people ask us all the time, like, well, if it's a direct booking, do I even have to allow service animals or emotional support animals? So we contacted the North Carolina Real Estate Commission. And the lady that we spoke to, at least, she did say, you know, in her opinion, short-term rentals fall under FHA because they're a rental. So that at least was the answer we got for North Carolina. It's very important to know for your area, because I have the number here, but the first offense for under like FHA, if you are fined, you can, in North Carolina, you can be fined up to $21,633. And that's the first offense. So there's no room for, oops, I didn't know, you know, that's a huge fine. So I know for us, we fall under FHA. So if someone says, which they don't have to disclose, that they have a service animal or an emotional support animal, some people choose not to because they've been discriminated against in the past. We have had people, like you said, the little cabin with the spiral staircase, we have had people that, you know, were looking to book and they said, well, I have an emotional support animal. And we said, okay, that's great. You know, you are allowed to book it. You are allowed to stay. This is why it's not pet friendly, is because of the spiral staircase. And we just want to make sure that, you know, you may not have noticed it in the pictures, but that does lead to the only bedroom in the cabin. So we just want to make sure you're aware of any safety issues. And then sometimes people book or sometimes they don't. You know, it's just, we want to make sure they don't feel pressure to book or not to book. You know, it's totally up to them. They absolutely are allowed to book. Just want you to know that there is a staircase which your dog may or may not be comfortable with.
I think that's great. You're still always looking out for your guest's best interest and how their stay is going to go, especially when, you know, they need these animals in which to...
Here's my question. I know, and we might not even be able to say a decisive answer on it, because I know that I've been in a lot of different rooms, a lot of different places where hosts, they want to ask for proof from the guest that it is an emotional support animal or a service animal. Are you allowed to ask that?
So I'm going to say I'm not 100% sure on the answer for emotional support animals.
Okay.
For service animals, I do know you're allowed to ask two questions.
Okay.
You can ask, you know, do you have a disability? And does this dog know a task to mitigate that disability? Mm-hmm. And it's not details. It's just yes or no answers. You know, do you have a disability? Yes. Does the dog know a task to mitigate that disability? Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not asking for their personal health details. No details, just yes or no.
Or paperwork or like, you know, a form or something that, because I know that happened for a while, and I'm treading a fine line here, but I know there was there was popular for a while for emotional support animals. Like, I'm going to be honest, I knew a lot of people, they were just going online and getting, like, they could just for a fee, you know, get a document that basically said, hey, my dog is an emotional. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening might've noticed at airports, all of a sudden it was just like, wait a second, there's a ton of emotional support animals boarding my plane versus like before. Yeah. So I know that's like, but it is a very touchy subject. Like, you can't, like you said, with the fair housing, you just have to be very careful about...
Yeah.
And I feel like most of the time, though, if the guest is bringing that animal, they are very upfront about it. You know, just like, hey, this is my service animal. This is what they help me with. You know, a lot of times they give transparency forthcoming with it. So,
yeah. Any of the registrations online, and that's for... There's no... Like, in the US, there is no national registration for service animals.
Oh, okay.
So if people are asking like, well, is your service animal registered? It's not a thing in the US. Okay. Other countries, it's different. Like Canada, I'm not going to get into Canada's laws because I'm not as familiar, but it's different in other countries. But the US does not have like a nationwide registration for service animals. Any of the emotional support animal registrations online, those are all a scam.
Right.
None of them are true. The only thing is like basically a prescription or a letter from a doctor that you see, like, or a mental health professional saying that, you know, you need this this animal for, you know, your disability.
Sure.
But any of the, like just the online ones, which, and I know, and people, you know, in the service dog community, people that have service dogs, you know, it upsets them mm-hmm. when people,
I bet,
you know, just use these registrations because that makes it difficult for everyone.
It does.
But I totally agree that I think most people that are bringing their, you know, say they have a service animal or a emotional support animal are, you know, they're telling the truth. I like to assume the best mm-hmm. from people in general.
Yes.
Well, I think if you're hosting properties.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was talking to my mom. I was like, you know, since 2016, we haven't had, except for that one instance that I told you about, the loose dogs, but we have not had any damages from animals.
Wow.
We have had lots of damage from people, uh-huh. but we have not had any damage from animals.
Nice.
And I think some people get nervous too, because they're like, oh, well, if they're saying they have an emotional support animal or a service animal, then I'm not protected if something happens. And that's not true. While you cannot charge a pet fee for either of those or an extra cleaning fee, that doesn't mean that, you know, if there's some damage that's obviously from the dog and it wasn't there before, that doesn't mean you can't still, you know, use the security deposit or what have you, whatever your system is, to, you know, repair that or replace it. You know, if the windowsill is chewed and it wasn't chewed before, it doesn't make a difference that they're not protected from that. They're still responsible for any damages. So there's no risk in, you know, there's no more risk than allowing people into your home.
Yep. Yeah. I agree with you 1000%, Heather, because same. I mean, I've been hosting for a long time as well. And we've had a couple casualties with door casings. And I said like a scratched front door, but it's something like a little paint or replacing a, you know, well, it was probably a $20 door casing, and now it's like $80. But it's cost of doing business, and honestly, being pet friendly, we've seen it just open up doors in terms of occupancy and nightly rates, and just more income for a business. But I want to bring up another topic real quick, which is, okay, ladies, but I'm really allergic to dogs, mm-hmm. and the service animal needs to come, but I also stay at my cabin. What do I do? I mean, I think the first thing to do is seek, you know, counsel. But you know what I mean? Like, we get that question a lot.
Yeah, that is something that people ask. And I was like, oh gosh, it's a good one, especially if you live there part time.
Yeah, and I totally understand. You know, there's some allergies that are really bad. This is kind of where it comes into play that, you know, we live in a society, and part of that is people with disabilities still have the right to travel, just like people with children still have the right to travel. And so that's just kind of where you're accommodating you're offering reasonable accommodations. So, you know, maybe you could say, well, I'll just, you know, I'll get a professional cleaner or whatever. If you do the cleaning yourself, maybe hire a professional cleaner that mm-hmm. time so you don't have to clean the dog dandruff mm-hmm. yourself. I don't have like a severe animal allergy, so I don't have experience with like how bad it would be if, you know, you go in and there's like a stray dog hair or something. But it's just one of those things where it really, you know, people have the right to a vacation. And, mm-hmm. you know, if that you couldn't say like, well, because you have a wheelchair, I don't want your wheels to scuff up my baseboards, you know, or something like that, which like, this is off topic, but.
No, I think you said it beautifully. Like, we do live in a society and you're choosing to have a rental where you live in part-time and mm-hmm. you rent it to others part-time. And unfortunately, or not unfortunately, but you can't, yeah, you can't deny a certain sector of human to be able to stay in your
and
space.
And I think the amount of times that you're really going to run into this situation yeah. is very infrequent. And guess what? You probably will run into it once, you know, and then that's when you have to deal with it and decide, okay, I am providing accommodations and I can't discriminate against that one thing. So like you said, you figure it out for that reservation and maybe just have it professionally cleaned. And, you know, again, I don't have a severe like animal allergy either. So I'm sure there's a whole other, you know, thing that goes on with that. But I guess that's all about communication too. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure if that as the host, if you could communicate that, let's say it's the online travel agency, that's probably a place to pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, before you even list your place, this is my issue. I have a severe allergy. I'm anaphylactic shock if I come into, you know, like talk to, you can pick up the phone, you know, you can ask those questions to the OTAs and see what their response is, and then obviously talk that out with the host. But I think communicating is probably the number one thing. And if listeners, if any of you out there have ran into this situation, like write us and let us know how you handled it, so we can make sure that we're also hearing that side of that story too.
Yeah, I think that's great. Like what you said about communication and letting, you know, if you know it's an issue, to let, you know, the platform that you're hosting on or whatever, let them know, like, you know, just like, you know, people with health issues and people with disabilities, you know, you have to request accommodations. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the same thing. Like, hey, I have this, you know, this major allergy where it's not safe for me to be in a home that had a dog in it, mm-hmm. you know, just let them know ahead of time. And then, you know, I'm sure they'll be able to work with you.
Sure.
Yeah, it's all about the open communication. Heather, do you feel comfortable talking about fees, pricing? What are your thoughts?
Yes, which, you know what, my mom is, if I get this wrong, my mom will probably be sending an email, but like, we have a $25 per pet fee.
Okay.
I know some places have much higher ones. Mm-hmm. This one, we feel like we're not really looking to make extra money off of animals being there. And generally, like, especially if we have someone else clean, that cleaning fee, you know, that extra pet fee goes to them for cleaning, you know, mm-hmm. of like extra dog hair. Mm-hmm. But it's not, we're not looking to, because sometimes I think places have pet fees that are very high because they don't actually want pets.
Yeah.
But they
oh, it's a
be,
way
like,
to be pet friendly, but yeah. not really pet friendly. Oh, okay. That's
I've seen places that it's legitimately like $500 for a week. And that's, to me, that's insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know anyone that's traveling with a pet that would be like, oh yeah, I'll just pay an extra $500 when they're looking at pet friendly places.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so to us, it's just, you know, for one, it's a little bit of, I guess, assurance, like, hey, you know, you've acknowledged the pet rules that we have, the pet agreement that we have with the $25 fee, you know, and then for whoever's cleaning, whether it's, you know, my mom or sometimes she has someone else clean, then, you know, that if there was extra cleaning that had to be done, then, you know, the $25 eases the pain a little bit.
So is it $25 per pet per stay?
Yes.
Okay. So, and do you have a maximum amount of pets that like you allow?
I feel like we've said the maximum is two okay. dogs.
Gotcha.
We don't have any restrictions on, you know, weight or okay. size or breed or anything like that. But gotcha. I think we have the max is two.
Okay.
Now, I feel I'm allowed to say this because I am a firm mom to two under 15 pound dogs. But I will say the dogs that have ever gotten us damage, given us damage, are the smaller guys. So the whole weight thing is kind of funny to me sometimes. I'm like, the bigger guys who just like kind of lay around all day. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it takes a lot for them to move around are much less of an issue than the little guys who are just like running around the
anxious
apartment or
and
home.
Like,
and
right.
Yeah, yeah.
No, for sure.
Yeah. See, you say that and you have little dogs, but then I know like I have my dog who there's so much of him and so much of that is hair that's constantly
the hair,
like
right.
being shed. Mm-hmm. So I think the amount that he sheds is maybe like counteracts the amount that he sleeps. So, but that's for me, like why I, whenever possible, you know, look for, he is a service dog.
Yeah.
You know, he does do work for me and helps me with things. But for me, I would always prefer to stay in a pet friendly place just because then I'm not worried about the dog for, you mm-hmm. know, that I, you know, we clean it up as best as we can, but then they're not, you know, freaking out about extra cleaning.
Okay. So that's actually a good point. You, even when you're traveling, you know that you could have your dog at any property because of the laws, but you still like use a filter to look for pet friendly locations.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And that makes sense too, because you probably want the home itself. Like you said, if there's a fenced in backyard, you probably prefer that over
a non-fenced in yard. And two, you know, we don't want, I don't think I had mentioned it, but part of if you're trying to decide if your rental should be pet friendly, I look at the flooring. Like, because there's some floor, like wood flooring that's softer wood mm-hmm. and there's some that's harder wood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he weighs 100 pounds. We keep his nails trimmed, but you know, if it's a soft wood floor, there's going to be marks. And I don't, you know, I like to think that at least in a pet friendly listing, I don't know if they've like looked at their floors to see how hard the wood is, but then it's probably has a little bit more durable furnishings.
Sure. Right. Sure. Or it's already got all the character, you know, of being old wood floors and they don't mind a few more years of love. This has been so great, Heather. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know about being pet friendly or accommodating those travelers with either service animals or pets?
I can't think really of anything other than just reiterating again how important it is to know the laws that you have to fall under. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if you're on, you know, Airbnb or VRBO or one of those platforms, and of course you have to follow those regulations too. But it's just, you know, apart from you never want to be discriminatory.
Yeah.
You know, I think from a moral standpoint,
right,
there's some very heavy fines that are involved. So I would just double check. And if you're not sure, you can always call, like we called the Real Estate Commission. You can reach out to, you know, your local, whoever's doing the housing authority or whatnot, and ask them just to make sure.
Absolutely. And like you said, the oops, I didn't know isn't really an excuse, especially when you're getting involved in real estate. And listeners, even as a property manager or a co-host, or if you're subleasing, you are still responsible to know the laws as they pertain to fair housing. And I know for me, I've actually come across a few owners who, you know, we were going to onboard their properties and they weren't comfortable with pets being, or service animals for that matter, being in their home. And I just chose, this is not going to be a good fit then, because I cannot deny someone who needs their animal to travel, right, to be in your home. And so we're just going to, you know, that just can't work in my portfolio. So you could also, even if you're not the homeowner, you need to know where those laws are. And
I have one question before we leave. On your, you mentioned several times your pet agreement. So if you have a direct booking, do you have your rental agreement and then do you have an add-on for the pet agreement for that direct booking?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It has all the things like it, you know, dog must be current on their vaccines. Dog must be, you know, have their rabies vaccine. And, you know, if he's out and about, he has to be leashed, that kind of thing.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And so you send that over separate from the rental agreement to your direct bookings.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We have it, you know, saved. So if they mention they're bringing a pet, we just send that right over.
Link it over.
And awesome. Do you do both direct bookings and do you take bookings off of the online travel agencies?
Yes, we've more recently that we're doing direct bookings, but we have made our website available to do that within like the last year or so. Yeah,
that's great.
So and
have you found it to be not that big of a deal when a guest books on an off of an OTA to still send them that pet agreement in addition to their booking with the OTA, or do you, if they booked on the OTA, they're set in terms of pet agreements and only if they book direct?
No, it's not hard. It's not hard at all. I mean, we have it saved as like a, you know, I think Airbnb and the Messenger, you can have it kind of saved as like a template, like template answers. And so we just have it saved, you know, that, you know, paying the $25, you acknowledge that you're agreeing to all of these you know, rules, pet agreement.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we just send it along with, cause we send the, you know, a copy of the lease agreement as well when they, whenever someone makes a booking.
Okay. I love it.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Heather, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate all that you are doing for our travelers with service animals and pets and all that good stuff. And we'll definitely put your information in the show notes. Yes. Are you okay if listeners reach out to you and if they have any questions?
Pet questions?
Yes. And I will try my best to answer them. I'm not a lawyer, but
we gotcha. Yeah. This is, yeah. And neither are we. So
neither are
thanks for
we.
Visiting. No, we are not legal advice here.
No,
so
I'll just put that disclaimer out there.
Yeah, yes. We have lots of opinions.
I have opinions. I have a dog.
And
I have a disability.
Opinion.
So.
If someone wants to pay us for our opinions, I'm here for it. But they're just opinions. So,
yeah. Awesome. But yeah, I'm always happy to answer questions.
Great. Well, thanks so much for taking your time out today to be on our show. We appreciate it.
All right, listeners.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.